Page, I put this up last night about the wild animals in the circus. It's just page after page after page on the U105 Facebook feed. So many people feeding into this. And look at it, Paddy McGarrickle and Stephanie Blair and Doug and Karen and Colleen McGrillen. I could go through name after name, and Karen Green, Sharon Harbins, and just looking at names of people who have been making comments. Good morning to everyone on Facebook contributing to the show and contributing to the U105 input and output, as they say. And it's got to do with really a call from the DUP, and I want to speak to one of their spokespeople, Gavin Robinson, who's on the line. Gavin, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well. This is one strand within an initiative you have with regards to animal welfare. Tell me what you're at.
Yeah, we're launching our policy. It's called Challenging Cruelty. And it's a DUP policy on animal welfare. We're launching it today, and it's going to be one of a series of policy announcements we'll have between now and the election. But I'm sure you recall, and many of your listeners recall, some of the really harrowing stories that have come across in Northern Ireland over the last year, relating particularly to animal cruelty. People who have animals within their home in a domestic situation, or indeed in a business situation, and treat them appallingly. So we're launching this policy document today, and it's our party's take on what we can do to make sure that issues of cruelty, issues of welfare neglect don't arise in the future.
Do you want stiffer sentences for people who are found guilty?
Well, we do. There's two aspects to sentencing. The welfare of animals legislation that came in 2011 is a great piece of legislation, and in the discussions we have had with the USPCA and with the CC and with the Department of Agriculture, we believe it is a good piece of legislation, but people don't know about it, people don't know the provisions, and in fact in a survey that was carried out last year, we discovered that 56% of those who responded believe if they saw something of neglect or cruelty towards animals, they would report it to the USPCA. And of course, the USPCA is a great organisation, a great charity, but they don't have the resource to do all that needs to be done. And it's councils that have that responsibility. So in the first instance, we're proposing that the Department of Agriculture launch a public awareness campaign that people know what they should do and who they should go to if they fear or they feel that there's an aspect of neglect taking place.
Gavin, there's a little bit of background noise. I'll get you to come a little bit closer to your phone, if you don't mind, just to get every word that you are saying. Now, this is a support for a centrally compiled banned offenders register. You're obviously worried that people who have been mistreating animals, who have been found guilty, are getting themselves into a position where they could do it again.
They could do it again, and more importantly, they could move from one council area or one part of Northern Ireland to another, and nobody would know that that person is not allowed, is precluded from looking after or for keeping animals. And we think that's hugely important, because if somebody is to go through the courts, if they are found to have neglected or been cruel towards animals in Northern Ireland, we need to know about it. Those who enforce the law need to know about it. And so we need to close that gap where somebody could just move from one part of the province to another, open another puppy farm and all the consequences that that have, organise dog fights, for example, which takes place. Very regrettably, we need to know that people who have been found out and who have been prosecuted and those who enforce the law need to know who that individual is, and that they are no longer allowed to keep animals, because there's no point banning someone if those who enforce the legislation don't know that that individual is not allowed to keep them.
And you want this taught in school. You want an animal syllabus to be delivered in the schools.
Yeah, I think I certainly benefited when I grew up, and I think many of your listeners will know the joy that you get from a domestic pet, from a dog or from a cat or from any other smaller creatures that we might have around us. There's immense joy, but there's also a lot of life lessons there. If you learn at a young age that somebody else requires care, and if that's a dog or a human being, if they require care, you have to look after them. There's many life skills, essential life skills, that we believe through animals we can teach our children effectively at key stages 2 and 3 at primary school, and in the early part of secondary school, teach our young people to recognise the great benefits you get and the love and the joy you get in return if you're able to offer that care and support to another.
We mentioned yesterday on Facebook the whole idea of the wild animals in the circus. Now, loads of those kids who go to school like to go to the circus, and I'm sure a lot of them have already seen wild animals. The older ones will definitely have seen them, and we've had circus representatives on before here who have animals in the zoo, in the circus, and they claim and obviously can prove that they treat them very well indeed. Why are you calling for this ban on all wild animals being in the circus?
Well, we called for it in Belfast City Council, and the council agreed that we would no longer allow our land, our property, to be used for circuses that contain wild animals, and we're asking that other councils in Northern Ireland follow suit, because you can go along and you can enjoy the show as it is. When you consider what joy that animal could have doing what it would usually do as opposed to what a human forces it to do, then I think there should be much more joy in that. I take no enjoyment from the knowledge that the training, sometimes the coercion and the neglect and mistreatment that takes place in circuses, and I'm not saying all of them, but I am saying that where that occurs, that's not entertainment for me, and it won't be entertainment for many of your listeners, and I'm sure many of those who responded to your Facebook as well. Actually, keeping animals in confined spaces when normally they roam, keeping animals in a fixed place to do a fixed job to perform for us is cruel. And that's the position we're taking. That's what Belfast City Council agreed with us as a party within the last year. And we're asking that other councils follow suit because I like being entertained. I like entertainment, but I don't think animals or anyone else should suffer for it.
What's the difference between coercing an elephant to do something and coercing a horse?
Well, I don't think there is a difference. In fact, whenever I was Lord Mayor, I think you might have covered at the time, I spent a day working in Belfast Zoo, and I talked to the zookeepers that looked after the elephants in particular, and actually, whenever they are maintaining the elephants, whenever they're caring for the elephants, they used to use many years ago, and it would have been widespread throughout councils, practices that we would no longer stand over, and what they do now in terms of treats and encouragement is far better than what would have happened in the past, and that's the sort of practice that I believe looks after the welfare of the animal as opposed to coercing an animal.
But would you allow a horse, a dove, a dog to be in the circus? They're not wild animals.
They're not. Well, it depends on your definition of wild. What I'm saying is no animal, in my view, should be coerced for entertainment. They shouldn't be forced, and that's where you get into the issue of care or neglect. They're obviously, I've seen dog agility shows, and we all know of Crufts and so on. You will see where animals enjoy, dogs enjoy, for example, agility courses and chasing after balls and going up and down hoops and over bridges and so on. That's good. They're enjoying that. But the moment that neglect gets involved, the moment that somebody is coercing an animal to perform to that level, then I have a problem with that. I want to see robust legislation for that, and I want to see consequences for those who force dogs to do things, who force animals to do things that neglect and lack care for those animals.
But if you have dogs of agility and performing horses in the circus, and they quite obviously are thoroughly enjoying being tutored to do it, and they're being very well looked after, then there's a strong argument to say that those animals are happy within the circus, and you could trace that back to the performing kangaroo or whatever else they happen to have. If the animal's happy, then it should be in the circus.
Well, I have to say, Frank, that if you've ever seen a circus, if you've seen them roll into town and roll out of town, and you've seen the transporters, for example, that those animals spend a lot of their time on, and even when they're at the circus venue, they're not getting any greater level of comfort or any greater level of exercise space because they're contained within their transporters. I don't think that that's fair. And if you think that an animal's enjoying themselves in that setting because they get out into the big top or the ring for 2 hours a day, I don't think that's sufficient. I don't think that's great. And this is the.
But just to be clear on it, are you happy enough, or would the DUP be happy enough with dogs and horses in the circus if they're happy?
No, well, I mean, this is where we have, and this is the important part. So whenever we're looking at the welfare of animals legislation, whenever we're considering, I want to see, because there will be circuses, we know there are circuses, but we're saying we don't want them on council land, and certainly in Belfast, we've made that very clear. We need to see robust mechanisms from the council and from the Department of Agriculture to go in to see, because it's not okay during a show if you, Frank, believe that an animal is happy doing what it's doing. We want to see the care and the conditions that that animal is kept under. We want to make sure that people are going in to inspect and satisfying themselves from an authority level from a statutory agency perspective to make sure that those animals are being well looked after and well cared for. I mean, I represent a constituency, as you know, East Belfast. A number of months ago, there was a court case from a family who were stealing domestic cats and feeding those cats to their dogs to train them for dog fighting. Those are appalling scenarios.
Absolutely, but there's no grey area on that, Gavin. Everyone agrees that that is appalling. But people will want clarity. But they'll want clarity on whether or not you're happy enough to have horses and performing dogs in a circus or not, because there's very little difference between a performing dog in a circus and the performing dog on Britain's Got Talent.
Well, no, the difference is I want to be satisfied that the welfare of those animals is safe, that the animals are safe, and that they're being cared for properly and appropriately. The problem we have, and in discussing it with animal welfare charities, with those who take an interest, with DARD and so on, the problem we have is that people who may stumble across neglect, whether it's in a circus setting or elsewhere, people who discover neglect or cruelty or mistreatment of animals, we need to make sure that people who see that, who stumble across it, who discover it, know exactly what they should do with that information. Because at the end of the day, this is about protecting animals, looking after the welfare of animals, be they domestic animals or within the agriculture setting. We need to be satisfied that people have the information, are equipped with the information, and know exactly what they should do to protect animals which indeed are vulnerable within our community.
Okay, but I'm taking from it now that if the circus rolls into town and Gavin Robinson is choosing to go to the circus, he's accepting that a very well-trained, well-looked-after, much-loved dog or horse can be in that circus.
Well, I'm saying to you very clearly that I'll not be going to the circus. I'm saying to you very clearly that at Belfast City Council, we passed a motion that those circuses will not be coming to our facilities in our town because the very nature of it, and I've made this point to you, it doesn't matter if you sit in the big top and you think that an animal is enjoying themselves. We need to be satisfied that there is no neglect.
Okay, regardless of what the animal is. Okay. There's two very brief things I want to ask you, Gavin, now that I have you here as a politician. Sure. One of them is this £600,000 about training them to speak and use Twitter properly. Now, you wouldn't need that sort of assistance because obviously you're an articulate and erudite young man who's got a, you know, would claim to have a massive future in politics, former Lord Mayor. And no doubt hoping to represent your constituency at a higher level in the future. But people are saying that this money is money wasted, the generous donation from Mr. Feeney.
How you flatter me, maybe to get a particular answer. I think a point was well made this morning that rather than a charitable donation going to the Assembly for the services that are going to be provided through Politics Plus, if parties believe that they want to get involved in continuing professional development, then they should pay for it themselves. Or more than that, if the individual representative who feels that they need a refresher course or a bit of training on media handling and so on, if they believe they need it, then pay for it, because they put themselves forward for election. They're asking the public to trust in them. And if they want to get involved in further development and training, then get involved in it, but not at the cost or the consequence of other projects that could otherwise apply to the same charitable fund for such support.
So what should they do with Mr. Feeney's 600 grand?
Well, I think, you know, Chuck Feeney, one, has been a great philanthropic supporter of Northern Ireland and given support in Northern Ireland. It's his money. He'll choose to do with it. He obviously believes that what he is investing in is worthwhile, so it's not for me to interfere with that. But I would have thought that if elected representatives would like to refresh them, sharpen up their skills and so on, then they have the means and the ability to do that themselves.
Okay, and the other question has to do with something that came up just before the news at 10 o'clock that I want clarity on with regards to lunches and councillors. Does a councillor in Belfast claim for a lunch every day that he's working for the council?
You can't claim for meals at all.
Or she, I should say.
Yeah, you can't claim for meals at all in Belfast City Council. But there is a legislative provision that if you are in meetings during meal times, you're entitled to a subsistence payment. Now, in Belfast, we don't take that payment and, in fact, save money Because at those meetings you will have the provision of food, and it's up to individual members whether they you take that or not. But if that food wasn't available, then every member would be entitled to an additional payment, because their meeting is during a mealtime.
Would any of them take the payment or not?
No, in Belfast we took
none of them.
That the payment is not available. So instead of making those payments, we put money into the catering services in the council, and as part of that, they'll prepare sandwiches and so on if the meeting is over lunchtime.
Okay, the only option open to you.
In that.
Yeah, the only option open to you is to take the food that's provided. If you go out to the cafe for a burger and chips and you pay £7 for it, you can't claim it back.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay,
and,
that's clarity.
As somebody who has never claimed for mileage or food or travel or telephones or any of that, Frank, I'm quite happy to say I don't claim for food either.
You sound like a man who's already electioneering, Mr. Robinson. But thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
So Gavin Robinson from the DUP. Right, it's 21 minutes past 10. Good morning to you. Daniel's on this line. Just with regards to animal cruelty, Daniel, what's your point, please?
Well, you were asking about the animal circuses there, and that's sort of... you know, a sort of passionate thing of mine. I was listening to Gavin there, that was fantastic, and he covered most of the points. You yourself said, representing the people, obviously, if the animal is very well treated and very well looked after, where's the problem? I like to use analogies. I could kidnap you, Frank, and if I treated you very, very well and restricted your right to a natural life, would that be okay if you were treated well? And the answer to that is obviously no. And animals are no different. They exhibit the same behaviours as us, the same emotions as us. They feel the same mental anguish and suffering and physical pain and suffering that we do. So for us to just decide, as we're humans, to take an animal from the wild, to breed it in captivity, and positive or negative in coercion, whatever's used by whatever circus, we have no right to do that, to make them perform and exploit those animals for our benefit.
What about wild dogs? Animals, what about dogs and horses then?
I'm very clear on that. No animals. You're exploiting any animal.
You asked me if I was, how would I like to be kidnapped? Maybe I've kidnapped my dog, you know, because I got my dog from a guy I know, and maybe the dog would have liked to have stayed with him, but he sold him to me.
Brian, I
now have him at the house, and he can do wee tricks and things. Now, he's not good enough to be on Britain's Got Talent, but that girl who won an award on Britain's Got Talent, she does something very similar to what the guys in the circus do. So what's the difference?
I don't see a difference. I don't think any animal should be made to perform. There's a dog rolling over, giving you his paw, going to get your newspaper. That's grand. That's great. Dogs and horses, now this is fact, dogs and horses performing over prolonged periods of time, jumping up on their back legs, dancing, pushing prams around, dancing at the end of dangling strings, which are very likened to whips, which should indicate how they're trained. When they do that over a prolonged period of time, they develop arthritis. That causes them long-term pain and suffering. Once those animals aren't able to perform in the circus anymore, I've asked various circuses on various forums, what happens to those animals after they can't perform? They don't answer that. Animals will get arthritis, so you will be causing that dog long-term pain, even if not in the immediate. You said as well about if the animals look happy. Now, the animals in circuses are, as you rightly said as well, they're trained and they're trained to perform. Robin Williams, when he was on TV and films, you look like the happiest man in the world. And again, comes back to animals are prone to the same mental anguish and suffering we are. They're trained to look happy for the crowds because no one's going to want to see a very depressed-looking elephant walk around. So the elephant has to look happy. Certain circuses, also if you pay an extra fee, will allow you to come out the back after the show to look at the animals to see how happy they are. Now, anyone who thinks that that's still not a performance is very, very naive in my mind. Gavin nailed it in the head there as well. They're transported from pillar to post in the back of lorries for hours to maybe stop the odd time to let them out. They're in cages, they're in dark, and then suddenly they're released into these big, bright lights with baying crowds and cheering children.
So Daniel, on the back of all of that is, and I need you to be brief on this because there's so many other things to shoehorn in, but on the back of all of that, the dog agility at Crofts, the performing dog on Britain's Got Talent, they're all equally guilty.
Yes, and Crofts especially so, because Crofts actually misbreed dogs. They actually breed their dogs to have deformities because they look nice in certain contexts. So Crofts is deplorable anyway. You're not going to ask me a question that I'm not going to say animal exploitation is wrong. And it's different. People say, oh, you have a dog, it performs tricks. Domesticated dogs love to do wee small tricks. But if you're putting it beyond its natural limits, pushing it to go beyond what it would naturally do in the wild, then that's wrong. And if you're doing that for profit, it's exploitative and it's very wrong.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
I've got to go on at you. You detest any form of use of the dog other than what a dog is naturally for. And obviously anyone who'd be organising crufts would be saying that they provide an excellent platform to show off dogs that are particularly well cared for and are not bred for the reasons that Daniel has suggested. 26 minutes past 10. Good morning.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.